President Obama wants to know all about the election season hacks, malvertising exploits millions, the NSA can track in-flight cell phone use, and OpenVPN gets an audit. Coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I'm Shannon Morse, and this is ThreatWire for Tuesday, December 13, 2016. Your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Good news for our patrons over at patreon.com/threatwire. We are now offering an exclusive patron-only audio feed of ThreatWire, so you can grab a copy of our RSS link and put it into your favorite podcasting app to listen to our show offline now. You fund the making of the show, so thank you for letting us bring you security news every single week. I'm doing a quote here. Shannon, please do a piece on the election on ThreatWire. That was a comment I received a few weeks ago, to which I wrote a topic regarding the possibility of changes to security and privacy that we are likely to see in the coming years because of the election. With news of net neutrality potentially being on the chopping block with a new majority, it seems that some of our worries may actually become reality. Look, whether you are pleased with the election or not, we are not going to stop talking about security and privacy news just because there's a new president. We will continue to report on it just like we did with the Obama administration. So I don't really care who you support, but this show is for security, privacy, and internet freedom news, good and bad. We will take a very studious look at every single bill, just like we have done since we started the show in 2012. If you don't like it, I promise you, you do not have to watch. With that said, there is no proof that compromised voting machines changed the election outcome in November. But should we still treat voting machines just like we do any other computer software? Should they be audited? While some are arguing that a recount for the U.S. presidential election, and they are saying that it was changed with a hack, researcher Alex Halderman of University of Michigan argues that it should be a default part of the election process for any election involving electronic voting. The methods involved wouldn't require a full recount and could be done on a small percentage level to determine if machines were correct. Since several electronic voting machines have already been found to be vulnerable to potential malware, and some could even be affected physically in under 7 minutes, it seems plausible that an audit should be necessary. Now, while voting machines may not have changed the outcome, other sources blame Russia. Russian actors were linked to earlier hacks during the election, and several cybersecurity and U.S. intelligence community researchers have analyzed evidence showing Russian ties, but this evidence is also being disputed. Either way, as of Friday of last week, President Obama declared a full deep review of the cyber attacks during the election season and requested that all research and findings be reported before he leaves office in January. Steganography. That was one of my very first segments on Hack 5 way back in the day. I was so awkward. Anyway, steganography is a commonly used practice to hide code or secret messages inside of larger documents, such as images, PDFs, etc. But it was also used long before computers to hide secret messages during war times. Borrowing from the word steganography and using the basic concept as well, Stegano, a malvertising campaign that began in 2014, has been used to attack millions of visitors to mainstream websites for the past 2 months. Malvertising is used to deliver malware hidden inside regular advertising ads on websites. In Stegano's case, the code is hidden in banner ads and secretly dwells in specific code written to change the color of pixels. Ars Technica describes the malware as redirecting the browser to a site that hosts 3 exploits for now-patched Adobe Flash vulnerabilities. Internet Explorer is the main target, and the ads promote Browser Defense, and that's spelled with a C instead of an S, and Broxu. The malware itself looks for any security software, and if it doesn't see any, it redirects the user to the exploit site. The Flash exploits can log keystrokes, steal email credentials, take screenshots, and basically act like a backdoor to the user's machine. Sadly, attacks like these are prone to continue because advertising networks are really bad at detecting malvertising. And due to the ongoing attempt of websites to block you from accessing them if you use an ad blocker, we are kind of in between a rock and a hard place. Websites need to depend on other forms of income or source their own advertisements, in other words, not depend on a network which might miss malvertising, and ad networks need to come up with a solution to detect malware in advertisements. Do you use use your phone while in flight. Several aircraft are equipped with GSM capabilities these days, and since regulations no longer require you to shut down your phones during takeoff and landing, consumers are more likely to leave their phones on in airplane mode, or they might just never even put them in airplane mode in the first place and just leave them on the entire time. Now, in the release by Snowden, the NSA had a document detailing a top-secret plan to intercept cell phone calls and data while consumers were on board aircraft. In a 2012 presentation at GCHQ, the British version of the NSA was basically doing the same thing and included examples of this tracking actually in use. All the plane had to do was fly over 10,000 feet, and all the consumer has to do is turn on their phone. That gives away the position, which can be compared to known passengers to figure out who the phone belongs to. If the consumer connects to in-flight Wi-Fi, along with call data, they can also track what a user is doing, such as browsing travel apps, social networks, emails, Google, sending texts, calls, and video. Wi-Fi pineapples. So, what can you do? Keep your phone off during the entire flight, because even if it's in airplane mode, that can give away your position. But I am curious if anybody out there chooses the convenience of your phone for entertainment, even in airplane mode, over security of turning it off for the whole flight, now that we know the government agencies are using this technology. We are always pleased to hear that an open source project aimed at security and privacy is being audited, and this case is no different. OpenVPN is the most recent one to hit the news, as the next version of OpenVPN will be getting an audit from Johns Hopkins University cryptographer and researcher Matthew D. Green. Green is being contracted by top VPN service Private Internet Access to audit version 2.4 as soon as it exits beta mode. Results will eventually be made public, and the source is available on GitHub. Let's do an e-hug. E-hugs. Thank you so much, again, for being patrons of ThreatWire. You can contribute over at patreon.com/ThreatWire to get your name on ThreatWire.net, as well as your own fur babies in the show. If you have a cat or a dog or a gerbil at home, take a picture. I want to see all the fur babies. If everybody that donates to the show donates like $1 per month, that's about 25 cents per episode, we will successfully cover all of our fees like rent, electricity, plus we would be able to put a lot more time into the show so that we can do upgrades. Like, I want to upgrade the camera and bring you more content, like that audio RSS feed. Of course, if you cannot contribute, that's totally cool too. Give the show a thumbs up. Subscribe on youtube.com/hack5. You guys keep on going way over my goals every single week, so I'm just gonna ask you to like this episode. I wanna see how many we can get to. I would love to see if we can get to, like, I don't know, let's put out a crazy amount. Let's say 5,000 likes. That's a lot of likes. You can find all of our episodes, links to our social networks, and other ways to contribute over at ThreatWire.net. With that, I am Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.